take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
Welcome to Nurses Out Loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. I am your host, Nurse Michelle. We are living in the post-COVID era, and historians will write about what went down in 2020 and how the world responded. Nurses Out Loud is dedicated to getting the stories of the people out to the public. And while telling personal tragedies of the people and heroic stories of the people, there is a resounding thread that weaves through all the stories. Who was there for them? Who came to help them? Who saved the day? Who was there for them when the doctors and hospitals forsook them? And who was there when their churches closed? Today's special guest I discovered through social media because I found out she was one of the people who was there for the people. When companies and colleges all over America mandated the COVID-19 vaccine upon their employees and college students, and people faced job loss or school expulsion if they did not comply, people ran for help in the millions. Yes, millions. If the statistics are correct, 25% of the U.S. population did not get any COVID-19 vaccines. That is 84 million Americans who did not comply. And there's a good chance that the 25% is the population of people that were scrambling for resources amidst campaigns of censorship to help themselves or loved ones find a way to not have to get a vaccine against their conscientious objection. Those censorship campaigns may have punished us by reducing our reach and our algorithms and our ability to make money on our own platforms. They may have even tried to keep us from helping others, but God found a way, and we all found each other. And because of people like Peggy Hall and her social media post, I was able to learn enough about how to weaponize words for the sake of the people with the correct verbiage to aid citizens in successfully achieving their goal of getting a religious accommodation or declination from the COVID vaccines. It is Nurse Michelle's honor to be able to have Peggy Hall, the Healthy American, as a guest on Nurses Out Loud today. And if you're not already aware of who she is, make sure to check out my show notes at americaoutloud.news/nursesoutloud. And you can choose Nurse Michelle's page to locate the interview show notes, so you can access all of her valuable resources on her website and social media accounts. Welcome, Peggy, and it's such a pleasure to have you here in person. To myself, I'm so thankful to finally get to meet you.
Well, thank you, Nurse Michelle. Isn't it wonderful that the evildoers wanted to keep us apart and God brought us together? I have like hundreds of thousands of new friends over the last few years, and it's really thrilling to know that there are so many people that want to stand up for their rights. Some didn't know how, and that's where I came in.
Yes, exactly. So when it happened, I think all of us were bamboozled. I think the entire country believed the original lie that, of course, I'm never going to mandate the vaccines. And I think even when we heard it the first time, we probably did not believe it because there was so much other crazy stuff going on politically that we just didn't know what to think about all this. But when it actually happened, and it happened to my own family, my own husband, even though I had been fighting for people before he got the mandate to himself, he had a major national company that he was in. He worked from home for 10 years by himself. He had never even gone into the building of his company. He wasn't going to go into the building. And it was absurd. They said even people from home had to. He says, I guess I'm going to have to do it because I support 6 kids and 2 grandbabies. And I'm like, of course you're not going to comply. I'll write them an essay and they'll never forget it. But it was probably, I knew that was true. I knew I was going to do it, but it was up to me to find the right words because I have, like yourself, I will ask you to give your credentials. my credentials weren't specifically in this area, but boy, have I had to add to my job description through this pandemic. So what were your credentials that made you feel strong to weaponize up and give the people what they needed?
Well, you know, basically, I have a curious mind. And when the government tells me to do something or anyone, I don't say, okay, I say why, and I dig deeper. So that's part of my God-given nature. I do have an interest in politics. I've got, for what it's worth, a bachelor's degree in political science and a master's degree in international law and policy. You don't have to have these degrees to be able to read and understand the law. In fact, many people thought that I was an attorney because of my ability to research and to clearly explain what these laws did, how they protect your God-given rights, a reminder that your rights do not come from the government. The Constitution doesn't give us rights. Even though there's a Bill of Rights, it summarizes really the boundaries of what the government can and can't do. And I also have a background in natural living, health and wellness. So when all of this came careening around the corner, I was like, what is going on? How can people be falling for this so easily? I expect the government to lie to me and try to cheat and swindle and bamboozle, but I didn't expect my fellow Americans to eagerly, willingly, giddily, excitedly line up for this. So, you know what happened, Nurse Michelle, in the early stages, because I have a knack for researching, I started to research actually at the CDC. And I got numbers in California, the number of flu deaths for the prior 5 years. And then I did the number per county, Orange County, California, San Diego. These are, well, you know, Los Angeles, Riverside, Santa Barbara, Ventura. And what I found, for example, in the county of Ventura, there might have been, I'm just going to use random numbers now, but to paint a picture because the, you know, scenario is sound. Let's say that there were 500 flu deaths on average for the previous 5 years. And there were two deaths from this, you know, mystery disease, which basically has this identical symptoms to the flu. And they wanted to shut everything down. So I started out with presenting just evidence, hardcore facts like this on Facebook. That was probably my mistake because I thought people would say, oh, wow, that's great news. I'm so glad that this is overblown. I don't need to worry. This probably happened to you as well. I was lambasted. I was excoriated. People that I thought were my friends, and I had been very active on Facebook in other like animal rescue and other charitable activities. And so these were people that I knew had compassionate hearts that I thought could read between the lies, as I've coined it, you know, of the government. And rather than say, gosh, Peggy, where did you come up with this? It's kind of strange that you're going against this or that. They didn't want to have a conversation. Why? It was all fear-based. But I was undeterred. And my husband said after, you know, several weeks of arguing with people on Facebook, he said, that's like a bar brawl. You know, you're a teacher, you're an educator. And I was the director of teacher education at the University of California. So I also have a view in terms of these public institutions and how they peddle certain perspectives and narratives. I've actually worked for the government at all levels, city government, state government, federal government. So I have an idea of narratives and how they can be pushed. So as an educator, I decided to create a video that clearly showed, at least in the state of California, that the evidence that the governor was giving to call an emergency. California was the first state to shut down. I try not to use the word lockdown because that feeds their narrative as well. I had a key to my home. I was not locked in, but people felt that they were. They went along with it. So I did a video and I clearly stated, here's the law in California. Here's the facts of what we see. And the evidence does not support a statewide shutdown. Now, maybe one county, if they're overwhelmed by not having enough hospital beds, but I also uncovered information. I'll come back to that in just a moment about my activities there on YouTube and this video. But I also found out, Nurse Michelle, and you probably have heard stories like this as well or been involved, one of the main hospitals in our area called Hoag, I spoke to the critical care physician that was in charge of that unit. And he said, Peggy, what they did, during, you know, the pandemic is they actually closed floors of the hospital and they designated one area as the COVID area. So then they could, I suppose, authentically say that they had run out of beds because it was just that area, although the hospital was empty. In fact, these nurses and doctors were furloughed. So the reason I bring that up is in the state of California, in many states are modeled on the same emergency law. And this is where it all goes to the base. And this is the lawsuit that I have against my own county for violating the law. There has to be evidence, for example, that there's not enough personnel to handle this emergency, catastrophe, fire, flood, earthquake, political unrest. There has to be evidence that there's not enough resources. That's why they started saying we've run out of masks, we don't have enough ventilators, we don't have enough beds. So they could tick that box in the column. But the box of we don't have enough personnel was a lie because they had been furloughed. And then they could say, well, there aren't enough in the hospital. Well, you put them on leave. And then there had to be resources, personnel, and then there had to be a mutual aid agreement triggered from other counties. For example, Orange County would have had to call in nurses or firemen or I don't know, any other emergency responder from San Diego, for example. That never happened, except the county did some funny business and tried to transfer patients from Orange County to another county to give the appearance that there was this mutual aid. Now, again, I'm a researcher. I went to all of these county meetings. I started uncovering all of their shenanigans, the hogwash, as I call it. And I started broadcasting that on what became my YouTube channel called The Healthy American. Well, the very first video where I very clearly showed, here's what the governor said, and here's what the law says. Therefore, the emergency is null and void. It went viral. I had people emailing me that I hadn't seen for years saying, Peggy, I think that's you in that video. I didn't know you had a YouTube channel. I said, well, I just started it to educate people. And again, I thought I would get applause from people saying, thank goodness I knew this was overblown. I don't have to live in fear. And I had a great number of people that saw that, but there were an equal number of people that said I was killing people with my words. You wouldn't believe the hate mail, the death threats, the strange items that people sent me in the mail. I mean, horrible. I know you would. And so what happened is that video went viral. YouTube took it down. And I continued after I got the strike, you know, after a week, I was able to upload again, and I continue to upload all along, not the science, but along the law. And my rallying cry was, show me the law. We had, I call them public serpents, the ones that are serving evil instead of serving the people. They were actually saying, we're following the science. And I said, you have no oath to follow the science. You have an oath to follow the law. Here's the law, and you're violating it. Because even in the county, every county, and it's probably in every state, certainly in California, they had their own laws regarding the calling of a local emergency, and none of the criteria was met. And so I've been in a 3-year lawsuit against the county to simply show me the evidence that you can call this emergency. There still is an ongoing COVID emergency in Orange County because they never terminated it in accordance with the law. And get this, Nurse Michelle, they said, we don't have to follow this emergency law because it's an emergency. We have to stop the sign because it says stop. So let me catch my breath there. And that's what launched The Healthy American, always based on the law, on your rights, because they can come up with anything related to the science or the emergency. There are probably a dozen emergencies going on in California right now. We still have rights intact during any emergency.
Yeah. So you're saying that you actually have found the supportive laws that people can access that say, here is the law that says you still have your rights to not comply with the new rules. That's what you're saying to the people, right?
Yes. And what we ended up doing, I've got a wonderful assistant, Olivia, and we put together these laws for every single state. It was hours and hours of research, and we created a one-page document that summarizes the name and the title of federal laws, and then your own individual state laws not necessarily related to emergencies, but related to your rights, which again are enduring regardless of an emergency. And so if you have to go get medical care, or you're traveling, or for your employer, or you just want to go grocery shopping. Back in the day, right, they were trying to prevent people from accessing public life if they didn't go along with these measures. I try not to use the word mandate because that also is a manipulation of the word. Mandates can only come from a court in accordance with the law. The reason why they never called these laws, they called them procedures, policies, strategies, protocols, measures, requirements. They never use the word that's spelled L-A-W because my other word, my other phrase, and I had a t-shirt made that said, show me the law. There is no law and there still is no law for anyone to give away or for anyone to consent to an undesired medical intervention, period. So we have that on the website, and that is a fundraiser that we basically did for our work. You can find that at thehealthyamerican.org. And I had so many different documents over the years to help people learn about their rights. I had little postcards that you could give to the store clerk that I would recommend to have them read out loud that said, I am protected by the public accommodation laws. I have a right to go grocery shopping without you impeding on my right to life, which includes breathing oxygen. Sometimes I would make a joke and say, I have a medical condition. It's called breathing. I require oxygen to stay alive. And then I would go on the religious side that I worship God by breathing his breath of life, and I will never restrict it. Now, if I could interrupt myself for a moment, I want to go on the record that each individual has their choice to do what they want to do. And if you want to be injected with an experimental product or even a safe and effective one, that is for you to do. I do feel for the children that don't have a choice. But as an adult, you want to be a part of a medical experiment? Go for it. You want to restrict your breath because you think breathing in germs is going to help you? I say do it. I draw the line when it comes to someone else oppressing me and my choices. It is a choice. Even those who said, I had to do it for my job. Well, you didn't have to, because I've got thousands of examples of people who didn't choose that.
Right. I think when it came down to like the major providers, that's probably the people you found that were the most stressful, the one who was bringing in the bacon for most of the household. And if a woman was at home, I mean, someone like myself, I wasn't going to have to comply because I was a homeschool mom at the time. But a man who is bringing home the predominant salary, they felt the biggest threat to their livelihood. Because yes, you could go get another job at McDonald's, maybe during a pandemic. But will you be able to meet your mortgage requirements? Will you be able to make your bills? And that's what pressure, I believe, the nefarious forces were counting on people using in their logic, because the pressure was so high, so quick. It was like told to you in October, maybe 1 of 21, that you better have it by December 1 or October 31. Some people were told just, you know, they had 2 weeks to comply. And some of the college students that I've had to work with up until this past year, I mean, this past fall, the nursing students and college students still being mandated to get those COVID-19 vaccines because they're going to be nurses and they have to participate in all vaccines. And those schools were used to being able to bully students, but they weren't used. They didn't know that there was a 56-year-old behind those letters writing them for them. And they were getting a dose of their own medicine back at them with words and verbiage that you did give me. And sometimes it was like, you couldn't learn fast enough. Like you were reading, and I can imagine what you were doing was similar to me. I was focusing on the medical, you were focusing on the law. And in doing that, I was reading way above my IQ level. I know that for a fact. And I know it grew because of it, but I had to find data that was going to be understandable by the public. So that's what was beautiful about what you did, Peggy, is you took complicated law that, yes, it can be complicated, but you understood it. It was your wheelhouse, and you were able to make it easily understandable by the people and therefore empowered the people. And that's what we've been doing. The Lord wants us to be free indeed. And we were not feeling free at all in that situation. It felt like a closing in on us. And it was one phrase that I was able to get out of one of your notes that I use so many times for videos to say, If you don't know anything else to write on your declination form or your religious accommodation form, you say that this letter serves to notify you that I am invoking my right to religious accommodation under Title VII of the U.S. Civil Rights Act. Now, I got that from you. And because of that, I told them, I said, even if you feel like you're going to be befuddled with what to write after this, because I was doing it for people for free for the most part, I couldn't help everybody. And what I'd say is they are being put on notice by your statement. It makes you just sound like you probably have a lawyer in your pocket and they're probably going to come after you. So make me. And that's what I liked about that statement. And I thank you for that, because it has helped thousands of people that have come to me just by that one statement alone.
Well, all thanks to the good Lord above, because he gifted me with this ability to understand things quickly and to explain them simply. And it actually is very simple. It turned out that I advised many, many attorneys. I had attorneys as clients that were also being pressured in some major companies. I've helped people in the federal government. Do you know, Nurse Michelle, I had people from the CDC coming to me, from the FDA asking for my assistance, from the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, all of the major government contractors like Raytheon and Northrop Grumman and others. I actually had people from the EEOC, which is the agency that is supposed to, it doesn't always, but it is supposed to be the agency, the federal agency that enforces these civil rights. And just a quick primer for those that may not have heard of Title VII, it's very simple. In 1964, there was something called, you know, the Civil Rights Act, and it included your right to vote without discrimination. It really was fueled by the civil rights, I would say, movement or revolution that we had in the 60s that started in the colleges. So when college students were being bullied, that's the word you used, exactly that's what happened. I reminded those students who were putting forth their statement to mention that these laws came about starting in the colleges because students were discriminated against because of their race, but it was extended to protect those of, depending on your age, your race, your ethnicity, your religious beliefs. And then later, a few years later, came the Americans with Disabilities Act, which also protects you from your medical status. Well, it's so clear that if you are, I call it, you know, you have not become a human pincushion. I use some of my code words. If you have not participated in these injections, that is a protected status. And if you are being told by your employer or your college or even your medical provider that you are a threat to others in your unvaccinated state, that protection is still valid. They can't deny you a medical treatment because you have AIDS or because you have tuberculosis. And you are protected even if you have this mystery flu called COVID. So that goes a little more in detail. But the fact is, you are protected at the workplace. And it troubles me so much, because what I saw over these last years was the government's desire to remove religious expression from the public from the public square. And they put so much focus on sexual discrimination, those that have, you know, homosexual lifestyle or have the gender confusion, and they're protected. So I would use that also in these letters, like, to be treated equally, you're asking me to defend a belief. First of all, beliefs can't be proven because it's a belief, it's not a fact. Secondly, no man has the authority to judge my relationship with my Creator and what God has directed me to do in prayer. It should be a matter, like in the state of Florida, that you check a box and say, I decline based on my religious belief, period. The law even says, the interpretation from the EEOC of these federal laws, and states have the laws as well. Most states have the laws. And as I say, we've compiled those in a document for people who want that on hand. Save yourself some research. But you have a right of no consent to any activities, behavior that is in conflict with your conscience. Now, that goes under the umbrella of religion. Even if you are an atheist, you are protected. You can have moral and ethical objections to these activities. So what happened, Nurse Michelle, and I know you know in your experience as well, the schools, the employers, the healthcare providers, they have no clue about this law. Even the attorneys that they would hire in a, you know, scurry around to get the attorneys, they were attending, because I found these workshops, slimy tactics, saying how to deny religious exemptions legally. That would be like having a workshop that says how to sexually harass your secretary and get away with it, how to prevent hiring a gay person and not get caught. So I always was replacing the concept of being vaccinated with these other protected classes that are in the news and that no one would ever think of putting a homosexual having to bring a document affirming from someone else stating that I believe this person is gay and give all the reasons why and how long you've been gay and you have to prove that you're not straight. It's ludicrous. You used the word absurd earlier. And they work on fear, they work on coercion, and they work on the lack of knowledge of the employee. And I have a couple of sad stories and some happy stories to share with you when the time's right, because there's always another way. And many, many people have stood strong. And I will say, strangely, the federal government actually was among the employers that actually followed the law. I rarely had to go through any appeals with, except for the military, was very, very tough. But in terms of working for the FBI or the Department of Homeland Security or the FDA or the CDC, they put forth their exemptions. I even helped people that worked for Pfizer put forth their exemptions. I was stunned. And I was in, the reason I mention this is because I'm so encouraged, and I want everyone to be encouraged to know that there are thousands upon thousands of people in these agencies, in the federal government, in the state government. Oh my gosh, the city and county governments have been among the worst trying to tighten the screws. But there are people in all walks of life, in the government, in these agencies, in the pharmaceutical companies that are standing up for their rights. I don't want anyone to feel that they were going through this just, you know, willy-nilly, and they were the only ones being targeted. Many people are standing up and have done so successfully.
Yes, this is wonderful. You see why I want her to be on here. She is a wealth of information, and she just commands the information. So thank you, Peggy, for that. We're going to have to cut for a break, and then we'll be right back on the other side, because we're going to hit some other topics about what to do moving forward as well. Sponsors, don't forget to check out our online store at AmericaOutloud.shop, where you can find all the products that we represent on our network at a discounted rate, including Nurses Out Loud's personal sponsor, ASEA Redox Cell Signaling Molecules. You can get it in the liquid, in the gel, their skincare line, and their powdered drinks, and so much more. So please be sure to check out the AmericaOutloud.shop. Use promo code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your purchase. I'll catch you on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
It's time, and this is what
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. you would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutLoud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Back to Nurses Out Loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. I'm your host, Nurse Michelle. Wherever you're listening from today and whatever you're doing, I thank you for giving me the gift of your time. I'm going to jump right back in with Peggy Hall because there is so much to cover here. I wanted to first address, before we get to legal immigrants, I wanted to address the reality that I believe Americans did have to face, which was I'm being asked extremely detailed graphic questions about everything I think is in my religious book that actually says I should not get a COVID-19 vaccine. The kind of questions my own nursing student got from her medical facilities that were not going to allow her to participate in any kind of clinical practice if she did not have her vaccine. So she had to fill out this 15 questions to articulate her belief. And it was because of people like yourself out there talking who just kept giving me power, because in my own spirit, I was like, I'll tell you what it says in the Word of God about this, but I don't have to. I don't have to tell you
exactly.
That was the main thing, but I made sure to tell them a thing or two. So you go ahead and address initially what the ludicrous audacity of these hospitals and these working environments that took these power control hands and said, "Yeah, show me in your Bible where it says you can't get vaccines."
Number one, you don't have to show anything in a Bible. You don't have to belong to any organized religion, traditional religion. The law is very clear. And when I say the law, I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds of court cases that I've studied. And I've read what happened and how the court ruled. And this is also summarized by the EEOC, the federal agency that is supposed to protect your rights of not being discriminated against in a nursing school setting, in a college, at a workplace, basically the workplace and voting as well. So it's absolutely ludicrous. And the EEOC has interpreted these court rulings to say that your employer or college is basically to err on the side of believing you. There is no real reason that the employer or the college can show to grill you like this. Now, as far as strategy goes, I have two different ways of doing it, and actually maybe three different ways. And it depends where you are in the journey. Starting right out, when you are simply stating your religious objection to this activity. I want to make it clear for those that have pointed the finger by saying, Peggy, you're not supposed to ask permission. You have a right. You don't have to ask permission or get any exemption. Well, that's like saying you just don't show up to work that day. No, you need to inform your employer if you're not coming to work that day, don't you? Or do you just not show up? I mean, I would inform my employer. You're informing your employer that you're not participating in this measure. That's all you're doing. You're not asking for permission. You are stating and informing them of your rights. So in the early stage, I recommend very polite, very concise, very little. I prayed about this. God told me not to do it. And so I look forward to my accommodation. And then offer what your accommodation could be. In the case of your husband, hey, I know, I'll work from home. And therefore, I'm not a threat to anyone. And that can get quite detailed because the company does not have any legal rights over what you do in your home, period. Now, they tried to finagle that by saying, well, we're going to call you into the workplace. Even though you've never come to the workplace in 10 years, they started to make all of these new rules that people that work remotely would suddenly have to come in for a meeting, specifically driven. And this is a worldwide phenomenon, and it comes from the World Economic Forum called The Future of Work. Research it. And it talks all about how there is a strategy that every country, every state, every city, every county, every company should follow this future of work. And that is who was doling out this way of controlling. So you start out very polite. And you also make a statement, very simple, saying, this is not based on my personal belief or philosophical belief. It's not based on the science or the medicine or the side effects. God told me not to do it. And you leave it. Now, what happens is they either approve it. They say, fine, great, file it away. If somebody comes to research us and see that, you know, our company is towing the line, we've got this here. And the sad thing is these companies were getting millions and millions, millions and millions and millions of dollars to enforce this. And they thought that if they didn't require everyone to do it, the money would be taken away. And there was also a sense of, well, I had to do it, so you have to do it too. That is what was driving a lot of these HR managers. And I know from personal accounts of employees that said it was like a tit for tat, like, who do you think you are? I had to do it. That was what was the underlying. So you come very polite, you're not coming out of the gate, you know, with the boxing gloves on. That's the first approach. Yeah. Then
one of the things, though, that people were using at this level was public health usurps your personal rights. You don't have a right to risk my life. So if you're coming into this workplace, you have to comply. How did you handle that at point one?
Luckily, there's a law and it's called the direct threat. So what they're saying is that you are a threat. So that objection on their point has to be grounded in evidence. So you have to show and they have to demonstrate how you are a threat to others. And it's impossible to show. There's even a law in California. It came out around the AIDS time. And there was a law that says, in order for it to be determined that you made someone sick, number one, you had to know that you were sick. Number two, you had to intentionally seek out to infect that person. And number three, it had to be proven that your interaction with that person caused the illness and not someone else's. Well, you can see as a nurse, that can never be proven. Do you live in a vacuum? Well, no, you went grocery shopping, you have coworkers. How do you know it wasn't that person? If indeed we're even accepting this whole concept of contagion, that's a topic for another day. But the point is it cannot be proven. These are the slimy tactics that the ignorant, inept, maybe intentionally deceptive attorneys were trying to trot out to confuse, to intimidate, and to coerce and to retaliate against you. All of those are further violations of the law. So you keep a record of everything. You start to use words like, I'm feeling very harassed here. This is bordering on intimidation. You're making me feel unsafe, right? Use their own language against them. You find out who is the non-discrimination officer of your college or employer, and you start to bring them in because they have all sorts of standard protocols for filing complaints. And that's another way of doing it. But right off the bat, you turn the tables and you say, well, where is evidence that I'm a direct threat? In fact, the law actually is clear as to what a direct threat is, and there's no evidence that you are.
And it's called the direct threat law.
Yes, it is under the heading of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And that's where an employer might say, well, you can't come to work. Well, they have to prove that you are a direct threat. Now, there's something else called a hardship. And the employer trots out another defense. There's only three ways they could object to your exemption. Number one, they don't believe you. And I've already stated that the law says you pretty much have to believe them. How can you judge someone's soul? You're not going to believe somebody who says they're gay? You're going to make them prove that they're gay? How do you prove that? So that's off the table, even though the slimy attorneys try to say, we don't believe you. Well, wait a minute, God believes me. So who wins? It's so ludicrous. Right. And then number two, they can say, well, you're a direct threat. And then you say, well, would you please give me a list of all of the people that I've infected? And if any of them went to the hospital, and then I want to have evidence from two doctors that agree that I was the one that infected them. Let me know what treatments they had. And if any of them passed away, please let me know so I can pray for their families. And of course they can't, that's called evidence in a court of law.
Right.
Well, what are you going to go to a court of law and just say, he stole my bicycle? Well, where's your evidence? Exactly. So we're educating, and it's quite actually satisfying for me to educate these ignorant individuals. And then the third defense they have is, it's far too difficult. Okay, so what is difficult about your husband remaining at home, not participating in the injections, working from home as he had all of these 10 years? It's not possible for the company to launch a rational defense. And even for those that were sent home, maybe they worked normally at the office, they were sent home over the last couple of years. And they said, I'll tell you what, until everything blows over, if you think I'm a threat, the safest place for me to be is at home. So you turn it around on them. You're right, I'm a threat. So I'll just keep working from home. Well, you can't. You have to come into the office. It's disrupting our workplace. Well, let's see. It didn't disrupt the workplace 2 years ago. It disrupted my life to have to work from home. But I did it. And by the way, all y'all should be paid for that time working at home, your equipment, your electricity, your computer, your office chair, anything you did, you get paid for on your company dime. So put in for that, just as an aside. And they don't have a defense against those three things. So we're educating them all along the way. And the most important thing is that everything is documented so that you can show, if you need to, in an arbitration, a mediation, or maybe even a lawsuit, and there have been several that have been successfully handled. Now, unfortunately, some of these have been settled. What does that mean? It never was determined by a judge. The two parties agreed to a financial payment. And I'm talking about big known companies. I don't want to name names, but let me just say, I don't know, ABC, Disney, Federal Reserve, and others. That those were just examples. And IBM, others,
wow,
who paid lots and lots and lots of money to hush up these employees who were frankly sick of going through this and said, you know what, I got the money, I'm stepping away, I stood up for myself, and I'm fine with it. And you know, I can't blame them for that, because it would go to a trial, there would be a jury, and maybe most of those people are pincushions and they have that same thing. Well, I had to do it, so you do too. So we do want lawsuits that are settled in court to set precedents, but it's possible to beat. I've had thousands upon thousands of people who have.
Yes. And thank goodness for people like Liberty Counsel and so many of the lawyers that are in the COVID litigation summit and those kind of things. But I want to tell you the case of Toms versus Maricopa County Community College, where they did win, but the girls settled and only had to pay, the college only had to pay $50,000 to their lawyer, and the girls got the right to graduate school, even though they'd already miscarried a child and had personal harm and injury. That very next year, that same nursing school was mandating those same next crew of students to get the same vaccine, because apparently $50,000 wasn't enough of a punishment to teach that college a lesson. So we do need a major litigation to set some precedents to take out a college.
Let me add in here. So one of my strategies, and this is what I always recommend when someone is going forward, either with their employer in mediation or through a settlement with attorneys, and you ask for these things, you ask for all of the money that you should have made if you were put on unpaid leave, you get your damages for your emotional distress. I would not mention like mental issues like despair or depression, because they'll use that against you, but you can talk about the sleepless nights, the upset stomach, you couldn't concentrate, all of that. And then you have all of that financial harm that you should be compensated for. And then you either want to be reinstated for your job, and if you don't, that's all right. But here is what I think is even more important than these monetary damages, and I would fight tooth and nail for this. Number one, you get a verbal, and I mean face-to-face, from those that discriminated against you. They're going to apologize to you face-to-face. Then they're going to put a video on the website under their discrimination or on the homepage that says, we were wrong. We wrongly discriminated against this individual. And we are repenting, basically, of that. And further, we will never do it again. And then the next thing that I think is super important is they go through Title VII training, ideally with me, but with anyone who is qualified, so that they will never make the same mistakes. That has to be on the website. It needs to be broadcast. It needs to be published. And I have clients that have said, Peggy, that is more important to me than the money. Now, it's not always it's not always easy to do. And that is where we get these precedents so that in the future, they won't be able to do that.
Right. And before we move on, I want to make sure, did we hit all three strategies? Be polite and concise at the first one.
Let me continue because there's a couple of funny ones. So the next one is when they give you these questions, which are completely excessive and unnecessary in the eyes of the law. You could say that. You could play hardball and say, show me where I have to answer this. I've already stated my position. What is it you don't understand? Do you not believe me? Why? And you turn the questions onto them. But the other strategy, which is equally, how do I put it, engaging and satisfying, is you go overboard and you say, you know what? I would love to come in and pray with you. Can I pray with you for you to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart? I have got a Bible study on Wednesday and why don't you come? And then you can see my actual beliefs and you go overboard with it. I had people sending in their baptismal certificates in. You don't have to do it, but it's like being obsequious, right? You're going overboard to hold up a mirror to show how ridiculous they are. And I would actually, I've recommended people to actually just FedEx them a copy of the Bible and say, here, it's all in here. Yeah, I would just start reading in page one. I read it, so you could too. Yeah, I would just go more than they're asking for to demonstrate how ludicrous they are.
The way I did that was when they asked for the phone number of the religious authority that was going to speak to them about how this was actually true. I said, okay, well, this is his name, G-O-D. Here is his phone number, G-O-D-J-E-S-U-S. Call me. You know, I figured out a way that it made the letters say God or Jesus. Call me.
I love it.
You call him and you just find out what he has to say about it. And I look forward to hearing from you what he actually said.
That's perfect.
Because it's absurd. It's like, no man gets to speak from my personal religious conviction. And I believe I did learn that from you, but I believe my conscience already was riled up enough to say it. So I love what you're encouraging on step two. So what about step three?
So that, those are basically, you start out very polite. The kind of the hardball is like, you can't ask me these questions and I'm not going to ask them. That normally doesn't turn out well. It depends on your personality, if you have a stomach for it. But what happens is they'll often peg you as the ringleader and they want to take you down so nobody else will follow along. So
find another reason to fire you. Right?
That's right. Find another reason to fire you. You want to be the one who is polite so that they don't turn it around and say that you are harassing them. But I need to give the story. And this is in the medical field. And there was a woman who said, Peggy, I found you too late. I was put on unpaid leave from one of these, you know, major, I don't want to call it Kaiser. So we'll just call it Kaiser in California, I believe. And she was put on unpaid leave, which is also illegal. That's like putting you on unpaid leave because you're pregnant. You have a right to work even when you're pregnant. You have a right to work. You cannot be put on unpaid leave because of your religious beliefs. It's illegal. Everyone needs to understand this is not about being vaccinated or unvaccinated. It's not about being a human pincushion or not. It's about your expression of your religious rights. Your employer is going to try to twist it into being health and safety and emergency. It doesn't matter. In an emergency, does a Sikh have to remove his turban? No. How do I know that? There have been plenty of court rulings that say, even in the military, the Sikh was able to keep his beard, even though the army says they have to be clean shaven. An exception or an accommodation, as the legal term is, was made for the religious belief. I have I know of another Sikh case where she worked in a courthouse. She went through the metal detector. In the Sikh faith, they carry a small knife under their clothing to symbolize the sword of truth. And they said, you can't bring that in. And she said, oh, yes, I can. And imagine how it was ruled. Oh, yes, she can. So I've got oodles of cases. And I'm trying to figure out where I was going with this. But the point is, you have these rights that cannot be taken from you, even in an emergency. So the woman, the woman was put on unpaid leave illegally. She was a single mom of a teenager. found it difficult. She couldn't even get unemployment, which is also illegal. Unemployment doesn't mean that you lost a job. It means you lost your wages. So if even if you're still employed, you can apply for unemployment. That's another quick pro tip. And you can also go through an appeal. Many people have, and they have won, even in the communist state of California. So, because keep in mind, the governor's telling all these agencies to not go along with any of this. So this woman decided to go back to work, and she got the injection. And she thought, you know what, I've got to do it for my child. And shortly thereafter, she was fired anyway. So she lost her job and she put her health at risk. And in cases, like you say, the breadwinners, how much bread are they going to win when they've got health issues and their own dignity and integrity feeling like they just bowed to evil? Because I see it as evil. Right. So there is always another way. There have been a few cases that I know of personally where the people stepped away from their jobs or they were fired illegally. Often something better came up, but by and large, people were able to keep their jobs and they had to fight for it. Not everybody has the stomach to do so, but I want to be that coach in the corner.
Okay. So I know our time's limited. So let's see if we can hit all these people that are trying to come to America legally. I know plenty of people are still being mandated to not be able to enter this country without being COVID-19 vaccinated. What do you have to say for those people?
Yes. And it's not just that, but it's all of the whole list of different shots that they want you to have. It reminds me of nursing students. Those are the others that are really being targeted and preyed upon. We have a large number of nursing students. And again, it takes educating the clinical sites. It takes educating the school itself. It's not for the faint of heart because they are fighting. Why? It's not for health and safety. They want everyone to follow the orders, and they only want nursing students who are going to follow the protocols without questioning. If it had to do with health and safety, then let everybody else wear the PPE or whatever if they're worried. So there is always a way to get around that. And when it comes to immigration, that's another vulnerable group of people. I would say the college students are vulnerable. They haven't lived long enough really to gain that experience and tenacity. Some have, and I applaud that. And then those that are coming into the country, and it's like, okay, whatever it takes, I want this. So the law is clear in immigration. There is a procedure whereby you get a waiver, and it's a vaccine waiver, and that's what it's called. And there are a whole bunch of choices. You can get the waiver because of a medical status. You can get a waiver because maybe in your country, these shots aren't available. There's a whole laundry list of reasons why you could get the waiver. And one of them is for a religious objection. Now, it's kind of buried, in the documents. Unfortunately, there is a large number of attorneys that are not experienced in helping their clients get these waivers on religious grounds. And I know that because I have personal accounts of clients that have come to me after paying thousands of dollars to an attorney who says, oh no, you just get it. You're going to put your, application at risk if you don't do that. And that's not true. Well,
it's going to take you years to be able to get
it. It's not true.
You do not comply. So they just simply ask a lawyer in their country for a vaccine waiver?
No, you can get that right off the website. It's the UC, USCIS, United States Customs and Immigration Service. And it's the I-60, they're at 601. And I actually have a couple of detailed videos, since I know we're running out of time, that I would love for people to watch on my YouTube channel called The Healthy American. And I've got a Substack. So I've got written steps, and that is peggyhall.substack.com. It's absolutely free. I've got written steps of what to do when you are seeking your waiver for immigration. But let me just give a couple of quick points. Number one, don't mention the science. Don't talk about it's untested, the side effects. Don't say that the government doesn't have the authority to tell me what to do with my body. Don't say that you're very fit and healthy and you eat healthy foods. None of that is a religious belief. You don't have to belong to a religion. But it seems to me that if you feel a conscientious objection, that came from God through the Holy Spirit. And I've helped Native Americans, Buddhists, Muslims. So I'm not here to proselytize. I come from a Christian background, but God alone will direct you and direct your steps. And basically, God told me not to do this. Then you state again, It's not based on the science, not based on the medicine, not based on a personal belief or worrying about side effects, simply because God told me not to do it. And the most important, I think, of all, Nurse Michelle, is to include the statement, the religious protections of the United States are so strong, and that's one of the reasons I'm seeking my immigration status here. You put it back into the face of these immigration officers that you have protection by law. Now, we're not talking about Title VII because you're not an employee, but you are protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution, freedom of religious expression. I worship God by breathing. I worship God by keeping my blood pure. God has told me not to participate in any medical interventions outside of, illness. I pray about every medical intervention before I take it. And in this case, he told me no. I will leave one more quick tip. It shouldn't be easier, but it is easier if you decline all of the shots. Now, the reason I say that is you could have been vaccinated earlier, and that doesn't mean that you don't have footing or standing now to say, I reject that, I'll never do it again. So even if you got, we've helped people that got even their second booster, and then they said, I don't want to do this anymore. And they were able to get the waiver because they said, I prayed about it. I think in some ways their standing is even stronger because they went through it complying with the coercion. And then they said, God told me to repent, and I have, and I will never do this again. So past history of injections does not have any bearing on what you believe today. But I will say, if you decide to use your statement to say, I reject all of those, in my view, it's stronger, because otherwise they're going to cherry pick and say, what's the difference between this and that? And now you're in the science. You can get a medical exemption. There are very few doctors that will do so, but it is a possibility. And I'll just leave on one really fun note, where we were helping a client, and you have to go to a doctor to get the injections and have the doctor assess you to make sure that you're not carrying some horrible diseases and what have you before you come into the country. And the client of mine said, well, I'm not going to get these injections because I have a religious belief that is in, contradiction. And the doctor said, oh gosh, I hate for you to go through all of that. And he wrote a medical exemption. That was like icing on the cake. So that was literally, a little extra God wink there for protection. And to this date, we do still have some active cases, but I have not gotten any word that anyone has been rejected or denied. And remember, even if you are, there is always an appeal. Now I have attorneys sending me their clients specifically for the religious exemption portion. I'm not an attorney. This is not legal advice. These are educational principles and just common sense strategies to make sure that you don't fall into these potholes and loopholes that they will try to inflict upon you.
This is wonderful. Thank you, Peggy, so much. There's more to do. We will do it on another show. Thanks for being here with us on Nurses Out Loud.
Truly my pleasure.
It's time in this city.